I love that Buck Swope.
Buck Swope's an interesting cat.
This is as creepy a guy as you'll ever encounter.
That's right, Buck Swope.
Buck Swope, who Doug really is not comfortable with Buck Swope.
Kind of a shutter spook.
Swope's one of the best in the business, for my money.
Buck Swope?
Buck Swope asked Doug his preference on shrubs.
Ah!
I may sue Buck Swope.
Buck Swope is struck.
I'm pretty high on Swope. If we need an old audio clip, Swope's going to have it.
Why?
I don't know. I just know he does. The wonderful Buck Swope. You know Buck Swope?
Well, yeah. Seem to have kind of an issue with Buck Swope.
Right. It always goes back to Swope.
Buck Swope.
Buck Swope.
Buck Swope.
Buck Swope. Mr. Buck T. Swope.
What's up, kids? You're listening to Swope's Picks, Episode 11, Doug Vaughn's Greatest Rants. A little later, we'll be joined by Doug himself to talk it over. But right now, let's flash back to December 2010.
Well, get on with it, motherfucker.
Get on with it, motherfucker.
Well, get on with it, motherfucker.
Anyway, those 49ers lost.
Yeah.
Segue.
I'm in the Fantasy League playoffs, and my opponent has Vincent Jackson as wide receiver.
Him? And he started him?
He absolutely started
him. Oh, you got pawned.
He hadn't caught a touchdown pass all year.
And you know what the Southside Seaman, who should be in the playoffs, did? Little Fields of Fantasy, Mr. Vincent Jackson last night.
Really?
That's why I'm winning 750 last week, hoes, and that's why I'll be 2,500 this week. What?
Is there anyone on the 49ers who can get a body on Vincent Jackson? Anyone at all?
Where's that Merton Hanks when you need him?
Where's the
Chargers Rumlinecker? Had that one little hiccup, but it seems like they're becoming the Chargers everyone expected them to be. And, Tim, you're preparing for the postseason in your fantasy football league, right?
I am not.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Well, I won't be in the postseason long because they don't want to cover Vincent Jackson. He hadn't caught a touchdown pass all year. He got three last night. He got 34 flipping points. Anyone cover him? I guarantee I'll cut every one of you if you don't cover Vincent Jackson.
What was the problem with the coverage?
They didn't see him, apparently. He's a big guy. He's number 83. Don't get a body on him, Nate Clements. Would you cover him, please?
That cost you $1,000, probably.
I know it did. I know it did. It's going to cost somebody else's damn job.
So he was invisible last night.
They didn't see him.
You would think maybe after the first touchdown they would have been hip to it.
They didn't.
And then after the second?
That's enough. He'll never get another one. They'll never throw it to him again.
Don't cover that guy.
Just leave him be.
Who's there to cover on the Chargers if Gates is in
play? How about Vincent Jackson?
Nope, not covering him. What, did he get one touchdown, Doug?
He's got three. Of them. He hadn't caught one all year. Cover him! Usually I confine my criticism to offensive line play, but is there anybody in the secondary at all who sees number 83? Get a body on him! Might cost me $1,000.
I think it probably did.
Cover Jackson!
You could have had all your windows covered with that.
You could have.
He barely got the ball in. They had to review it. Of course it's a touchdown. Go ahead and give it to Jackson!
I got to go to the CBS Sports Line page and see what the hell happened. Who are you playing?
Double Dwayne.
Double-ended.
Butt-ass or something.
Double Dwayne Butt-ass.
Uncle Carl's double-ended. Dwayne Bowe.
I was telling people last night, is it Doug or the Doug or Jay Boyd's team will win? They got the best team. I didn't realize you're up against. You're down 34 to nothing,
sir. Tell me about it. That's why I missed the Blues game. I'm rooting against Vincent Jackson. Cover Vinny!
God, he had 34 points.
Tell me about it. He's the big guy. He'd be the one catching all the passes.
I went through absolute hell with my 16-year-old, just turned 16-year-old son, trying to get his driver's license at this Deer Creek driver's place the other day. It was like a scene from Saturday Night Live. 50 people in there trying to test for driver's license. Three women working there, most of them eating. All of them, at least.
So two of the three were eating.
Yeah.
Most of them.
Yeah, mathematically, that has to be it.
All of them, three bills at least, moving in slow.
I know one of them, Doug, about your behavior. You walked in there and you said, "Where's the line for Sons of Emmy winners?"
No.
2 hours we were there. 2 hours. After about an hour, my son is finally up, and the lady takes him out there walking almost backwards. She is walking so slow. He gets in the car for the test,
And she looks at the car and says, That's what she said. And with that, she turned and walked back into the building in slow motion. And that's all she said. And then went back and took the next person.
Why?
That was our question, too. We thought maybe she would at least tell us. And my son's coming out with his hands up. What did I do? I didn't even drive yet. And so I went back into it. I said, what happened? She goes, tags. I said, what? Tags. And then she took another bite of pizza. I said, what do you mean?
What kind of pizza?
It looked like a sausage.
Mm. From where?
I don't know.
Like Racanelli's.
Not really the point.
Biggie's.
Then she says, you ain't got tags. I said, I ain't got tags. Yeah, you can't take the test without tags.
Well, you're driving around with expired tags.
Yeah, what's
no,
your problem?
No, it wasn't. Someone had peeled off the tags, both front and rear license plate, parking in the city, of course. Someone had stolen both of my inspection tags.
But she didn't do it.
You don't know that.
No, but that's why he couldn't take the test. You got to have one tag at least. So I went to the next building down and paid for tags again that I had just bought a month ago.
How
had
much?
To buy them again, $12. So then I came.
Pay
and
cash? Did you pay cash?
Yeah, I paid cash. Right. I had it with me. Right. So then I put the stickers back on both license plates and then back inside the testing bureau. And you go, all right, you have to go to the end of the line now. Back we went to the end of the line, behind another 30 people. 2 hours we waited. 2 hours. While these women walked around in super slow motion, people are laughing. People that have got more time than I do just thought it was the funniest thing in the world. He finally gets up 2 hours later, and by now it's 3 o'clock, and I'm supposed to be at Busch Stadium about an hour ago. He gets up again and flunks the test. Failed the driver's test. He said after he came out of the parallel parking, he didn't turn on his blinker. The first thing he did was test you for parallel parking. When he got out of the spot, he didn't turn on his blinker. And then
Are you supposed to?
Do you do that every time you leave a parking spot? You turn on your blinker?
I don't think I do.
No. And then they said, then he came to a stop in the middle of an intersection. Baloney. They just wanted to fail him.
Jim Edmonds, a fan of your story.
Mm-hmm.
Told you, right around 8 o'clock. That's his time.
He's been there and done that.
Doug kills me, he says.
2 hours.
2 hours! Move a little faster. Put down the pizza. There's 30 people here waiting.
At one point, someone called 30 people. At this time, there was just one lady, and there's just one waiting on 30 people. And someone called and wanted directions to the place, and it took her 5 minutes to tell this guy how to get there. Look it up on the internet. There's 30 people waiting. Put down the pizza and test the drivers. My son's riding a bike. He ain't driving.
He should have had the tags.
They stole the stickers. They stole them from me. Both front and rear.
She has rules. Although I do think she should have just told you right there what it was instead of just saying...
Uh-huh. Tags. That's what she said. That was her explanation. Tags. What do you mean tags? I gotta be somewhere. It was just like a skit from Saturday Night Live.
Did they have a box of pizza and they were all like just grabbing a slice?
No, every now and then I just look there and one of them would be eating it. I don't know where it came from. Maybe they keep pizza there all the time.
They don't get a lunch break.
Oh, they were taking plenty of breaks. Every now and then one of them would just walk away. Just get up and go. We don't know where she went. How long was I there? I was there 2 hours. And we still didn't get the darn lunch. I got to go back. Have to go back. They stole my tags.
When you say tags, you sound like Martz and Trent.
I like tags. You got to have them. You can't take your test without tags. And they stole them from me.
San Diego Chargers are off this week, but next week, Vincent Jackson.
I hate Vincent Jackson.
He stole your tags.
He cost me $1,000. That's what he did.
Who do you dislike more, Vincent Jackson or the DMV folk?
I don't like the DMV folk. 2 hours I was there, they stole my tags, they ate pizza, and we still flunked the test. I gotta go back.
Were you mad at your son?
I have to go back. I gotta go back. Oh, I'm getting get worked up again. Got to get over it. It's time to get that window air conditioner out of that window here for the winter. So I decided, you know, I can do this myself. It's a pretty big air conditioner, pretty heavy. I've done it before by myself. I do it every year about this time. Only this particular time, that window didn't come right up.
Mm-mm.
Usually I just slide. I have my left hand on the air conditioner. I slide the window up with the right hand.
So you're securing the air conditioner with the left hand.
Uh-huh. And I remove a pretty heavy air conditioner. It's probably 50 pounds, 60 pounds out of there and take it downstairs and store it for the winter. Only this time that window didn't really come up. I pushed and pushed and that window wouldn't come up to release that air conditioner. So what do? I take my left hand off the air conditioner and with two hands push the window up. And I'll be darned if that air conditioner didn't fly right out the window. It flew straight down. I hadn't even unplugged it yet. It pulled part of the electrical socket with it. But I mean, it just flew right out the window. It flew about, 30 feet to the ground below. Smashed into about 50 pieces.
And I'm sure once your wife found out about this, she was very supportive.
She was thrilled. Yeah.
And very supportive.
Why didn't you wait? Why didn't you wait for us? We'd have helped you. I didn't want to wait. I just wanted to do it myself.
Why didn't you hold down the air conditioner?
Ah! What I found fascinating was that the plug didn't come right out of the socket. It just ripped the whole socket with it. The whole outlet went out the window.
Did you not think about unplugging it before doing any of the work?
I didn't.
I'm not judging, but you
maybe should. I was thinking maybe that plug might just hold the whole air conditioner in and keep it from falling. I wasn't thinking that, but that's what I'm going to go with now. About 15 pieces it was in down below.
Do you feel you're
it sounded like a bomb going off down there, too.
I can imagine. Do you feel like you're getting dumber by the year?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Doug, there it is. Are you worried that the Blues are down number three in the power?
I'm not the least bit concerned. We don't do power rankings in pucks. We have standings, and that's all that we need.
What if there's a tiebreaker?
So that doesn't matter.
These standings you speak of, it's kind of an ambiguous term.
It isn't.
So who ranks them for the standings? Is that Jerry Palm?
It's done mathematically. Wins, losses, overtime ties, points, total points, games played.
And who does
We don't need committee to decide who's who. It's written right down there. Why am I the only one who sees this? This show drives me nuts. We have standings. We don't need a committee to determine who's on top. We can see it.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I see it now. But I'm always concerned at this time of year that the NHL selection committee is going to get it wrong.
There is no such thing. Nobody selects what team goes to the playoffs. It's done over the course of a season. You don't get this yet. Good Lord, they've been playing hockey for 100 years. Wins, losses, ties, that determines it.
And who determines who wins a game?
The players on the ice.
This is a matter to be considered by the committee.
There is no committee. How upset would you be if your team had a good regular season and then at the end of the year a committee said, no, we're not going to let you in the playoffs. We don't think you're worthy.
If Jerry Palm had rated him low, I'd understand. Sure, I'd raise an eyebrow, but if Palm said it.
Right. No, I respect that.
Palm knows nothing.
It's amazing. We've covered a lot, but we still have so much to get to. That's exciting, though. That's exciting.
What do we have to get to?
We still have a lot of tournament talk because you're talking about the tournament. But we have next year's NCAA basketball rankings.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Oh, that's important to get to this morning.
Why? How do we know who's going to be good next year? Some of the best players are the freshmen. We haven't even seen them take the court. You're going to tell me, you're going to give me a bracket now for next year's tour to be?
Today could be the most telling day in all of college basketball for next season.
Today means nothing. You guys just don't understand sports.
Andy Katz has Indiana number one.
How? They haven't played a game yet.
Louisville two.
I got to calm down.
That was
Kansas three. Kentucky four. That's a shame because they just won the national championship and they got to wake up this morning and feel awful.
Oh, they might lose some guys, I heard.
Who ranks the teams before this school year has even been completed?
I think the NHL selection committee focuses on the college basketball.
Ohio State 5. Missouri's in at 25. That's exciting.
Missouri's ranked 25 for next year, you're telling me. Yep. Next year's team is ranked 25th.
And you find that exciting, Tim?
We don't even have the team. They haven't even had final cuts yet. There could be a walk-on that could change the whole scenario.
Chip Walter?
Someone like that.
Kiernan?
Yeah.
On the cusp, St. Louis U. So they almost made it. And you have to think Rick Majerus feels good about that.
He doesn't give a rip. Doesn't mean anything. You guys don't understand how this works.
Pretty much, the top 25 college basketball teams, their destiny has already been determined.
It hasn't. They haven't even thrown the ball out on the court for the first practice.
You don't know that.
I had to take some deep breaths to try to calm down.
Well, you did school us. We understand it. All right. Sort of.
Timberfake is going to call in at 9 o'clock to begin his verbal assault of producer Joe in preparation for the bout at PT's on April 27th. I don't know if he's going to be sober, if he's going to be in one of his moods, what he's going to say to producer Joe. We haven't talked in a while here on this program, but he is stepping into the squared circles. Two stormy combatants. And in Jerry Palm's rankings on the local boxing scene, Joe is actually ranked number one.
God bless America. Who else has rankings of local schleppers who are boxers?
Troy. And then Phoenix.
The schlepper
and
ranking.
End of season at Dallas.
You know what I'd like to see is Palm's ranking of places to get French fries in St. Louis. That would be a help. That would be a help.
Yeah, if he had like a tournament of French fries.
Why does Palm get the last say in everything? Who is he to rank everything?
Who are you
Who
to
is
question
this guy?
Him? Who are you?
He had Missouri number two in the West.
So what? Clearly that was wrong.
That's what they were.
They should have been 16.
They should have been a 16 seed.
And they dispatched Montana just like he predicted.
They didn't play Montana. How many shows did we spend talking about who has this team going where, in what region, in what bracket? That's nonsense!
It all panned out
it
exactly
didn't,
according
it didn't
to Jerry
didn't work
Palm's
like
plan.
Any of them said. It was determined by a select group of men who make up the NC2A Selection Committee.
Yeah, but here you are now, though. We're talking a little bit about the 2013 rankings.
Here I am now, getting up at 3:30 in the morning to come in and talk about somebody's bracket 3 weeks before the NCAA tour to be. That's how my life is falling apart. How you doing?
And you did call it tour to be.
Mm-hmm.
Bad. Tournament.
It's not a tournament.
What is it? To turn a B?
I just need some time away.
Boy, what a treat this is. A little audio that we ripped off from Deadspin, and we have to act like we found it on our own.
Horrendous that nobody can shoot par on that golf course. That is the most bass I've ever been in my life, having to walk around that scoreboard and look at those other coaches. 11 teams beat us this week. 11 teams!
No, you finished in 11.
Damn it! 3 years ago, we won that tournament. Every one of you was recruited here to do a job and to perform. And you put the time in and you can't perform. We work double what any other team out there works. Double. And we don't get out of it. Waste my time. The damn state mid-ams this weekend. I could have played golf all week. Played in that, but no. I
go
up there and watch that bullshit you four call golf. Like watching paint dry. My dad looked at me and said, "Why the fuck are you recruiting these kids? What the fuck is that?" Damn it! 12th place in a 12-person, 12-team field.
It's 11.
I'm ready to lose my mind. There is no helping you. Not a big deal, though. It's not a big deal.
This is good.
Hunky dory. You will not have a day off between now and when we leave for Destin.
What the hell was that?
I don't want to hear a word on anybody until we get back to Kentucky. Put your headphones on, go to sleep. I don't give a shit. I had to watch you play golf for the last 54 holes. At least not let me hear your voice right now.
It's the coach. The golf coach.
Well, it wasn't real constructive criticism. I mean, doesn't a golf coach supposed to say things like, drive for show, putt for dough, stay out of the tall grass,
watch out
for the beach.
Follow through.
Follow through on your show. Weight shift, gentlemen, weight shift. Stay out of the beach. Go ahead and putt from the frog's hair. Line up the putt. That's what a golf coach says.
You think he should yell, line up
the
putt?
Yeah, line it up.
You don't think they were lining it up?
No.
They were just running
out
there
up and hit
taking
it.
A whack.
That's a poorly
check
coached club.
Check the curvature of the dance floor, gentlemen.
He actually does give them tips. Yeah, at the beginning of the clip, he asks them, what are some ways we can eliminate some of the shots that we take? Hmm. And they're like, chip better?
Good answer.
That's correct.
Just stupid answers like that. It's hilarious.
You got to line up the putt, so I'm with Doug on this one.
So there are a lot of clubs out there right now not lining up putts?
Absolutely. They're just hustling on and off. There's my ball. Where's the hole? I don't care. Just putt. No. Take a second. Line it up, you schleppers. 12th in a 12-team tournament. That won't cut. Drive for show. Putt for dough.
Coach, can I ask a question?
Yeah, real quick.
Okay. Do I keep my head down and watch?
Keep your head down. Don't move your head. Watch your weight shift. Don't forget your golf shoes.
Now, there are people going out there without their shoes.
Tennis shoes. Some of these guys are playing in tennis shoes.
Coach, it's hooking a little bit, and I'm not... Should I
watch
follow?
Watch the duck hook. Hit it straight. Keep it out of the tall grass. Keep your eye on the ball. I'm tired of you guys losing balls.
Now, if I'm the athletic director at the Huffington Post right now, and I hear this, Doug, you are hired sight unseen, and you are out of the business.
Yeah.
You're a golf coach now.
I'm just a coach is what I am. It doesn't really matter the sport. I'm just a leader of men.
From the 618, they need a wider base. Is that true?
You need a wide base when you tee off? Absolutely.
But I don't think, Coach, it's important to shift your weight.
Watch your weight shift. Get that club back. Follow through. Hit them straight. Drive for show, putt for dough. These kids just haven't been instructed.
So the coach was wrong to yell because he wasn't stressing fundamentals.
It didn't help him. It didn't have the kid sitting there, what do I do in the frogs here? Go ahead and use your putter. You don't have to chip. Use your putter. Your worst putt will be better than your best chip.
Like
and then line up the putt.
You see, here's where I disagree. I think sometimes it's better just to rush onto the green and not think about it so much. It's almost like icing the kicker. If you're lining up the putt, you're icing yourself.
No, that's the thinking that got us 12th place in a 12-team tournament.
Give Doug a raise.
I'm sure that that Gateway course is really happy that you guys suck, so you're playing that Gateway course.
From the red tees,
from
no
the
less.
Red trees.
Until we break par. What kind of club is this that can't break par?
How do golf coaches, like at school programs, actually coach? They go out to a course, and they just play, and then just follow along and yell tips, or do they hold up on
they
one?
They should be yelling tips. They're
like
just watching.
Like what kind of tips?
I just told you. Watch the weight shift. If you had the low score on the previous hole, you go ahead and hit first.
But those are just rules of the game.
Yes,
though.
You got to remind them. These are kids.
And when I'm driving, I like to keep my eye on the hole so I know where it's going. Is that right?
Eye on the ball. Don't drive the cart onto the green.
These are rules. This isn't coaching.
Get the cart off of the green. Why are you using a cart? This is a tournament. You're supposed to walk. These kids don't know nothing.
What about the equipment? What kind of bag should you use?
Get a bag? I don't need a bag.
You
know
what?
Just carry your sticks. Bags are for losers. Carry all 14 clubs in a bundle of sticks so you're ready to change if you need to. Don't need no bag and get rid of the cart.
And the cart's on the green.
Repair your ball mark.
What was that last one?
Repair your ball mark.
This guy doesn't know how to coach.
I saw something the other day, an article that said the average kid is permanently out of his parents' house now at the age of 27. 27. Man. Can that be right? Done and never comes back again at 27? Oh, my Lord. How will I keep him fed?
That's another, what, 11 years were you in?
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, my word.
Did you charge him rent?
I don't know.
Past, like, 22?
If they just cut the grass every now and then, empty a trash can, do something.
Jason Seaver on Growing Pains, Charlie, you know this.
Yeah.
He built Mike Seaver, the wonderful Kirk Cameron, a little apartment above the garage. Is that something that you maybe would do?
I don't think I'm quite handy enough or have the proper permits to construct an apartment above the garage.
Him and Boner would always hang out there.
Boner Stabone, right?
That's right, Richie Stabone.
And then, but then they adopted Leo. So they missed children.
Right, Leonardo DiCaprio.
They brought in Leonardo DiCaprio, Doug. That's
would you want to live in an apartment above somebody's garage?
With Leonardo DiCaprio? Yes.
I mean, as a kid, though, as a young adult, if I was able to not live with my parents but still kind of be on their payroll and live above the garage, I would prefer that, yes. You sneak
when I was that age, I wanted out just as soon as I could get out. I mean, the day I graduated from college, I moved into an apartment, I think, or soon after.
In St. Louis?
The generations are getting softer and softer. I told you I have that picture of my grandfather in a covered wagon. When my father was 22, he was dropping bombs on Germans and getting shot at in World War II. When I was 22, I was living fat, dumb, and happy, drinking, partying all the time. When my last son is 22, this last Easter, he was part of an Easter egg hunt in the house. That's how it's fallen. Where's my Easter eggs? You're 22 years old.
Ah. Did you hide them, though? You were
yes,
part of it.
I hid them, and he couldn't find them.
You're an enabler.
Yes, I hid him up in the drapes, and he couldn't find them. Where's my Easter egg? You're 22 years old. How much softer can we get?
Sounds like it's you're the problem.
I guess.
From the 314, how did the Vaughn family Easter egg hunt go?
It's a good question.
Well, it went okay.
Did John Vaughn go on an Easter egg hunt?
Oh, yeah.
And how old is he?
He's 24 years old. His brothers are 21 and 18. They all enjoy the Easter egg hunt. So I said this year, you know what? I don't have a lot of time. I don't have an hour and a half for the Easter egg hunt.
These are long hunts. Where do you guys go?
It's just a few minutes. I said, I'm going to hide. This time it was in a bag. We didn't even have the basket. I said, it's either going to be in the family room or the kitchen. One of those two rooms. You know, not a huge area. That's where your bags are hidden.
Wait, bags, but they are eggs, right?
There's no, well, a couple of chocolate rabbits and some gift certificates.
So it's not even an Easter egg hunt. It's like little gifts and treats for the boys.
Right, little treats. There's not really eggs. For a long time, it was little plastic eggs with coins and things. But now we've kind of passed that, and now it's gift certificates. But they like to have a little bag, a little basket. So I said, it's either in the family room or the kitchen. This should take about 5 minutes. None of them could find their basket. Not one of them.
Well, it was a bag. It wasn't a basket.
Why are you yelling?
Because they get it.
Well done.
Darren's having a huge week.
I said, where are they? We can't find them. Well, they're not right on the couch. I didn't hide it on the kitchen table.
You're a good father. You're a really good father.
And one of them was in the closet, you know, on a hanger with a coat over it. Couldn't find it. Couldn't begin to find it.
How did you get that huge blister on your right hand?
That was from redoing the master bathroom. Now I had to dig up the subflooring and take off the baseboards with the pry bar.
Dude, we get it. You workout guy.
You asked me. That's
so. Wait, you're going to put the new tile in there?
I'm not putting it in, but I did the demo work of ripping out the old carpet and taking up the tack strips. And
you got carpet in your bathroom?
Well, part of it was carpeted, part of it was linoleum, and we're yanking it out and putting in tile.
Ooh.
Love my life. I'm off to the gym now. Well, he never pulled the ball foul. I wanted him to pull the ball foul.
Why would you want
to
foul
I wanted
the ball?
To see him
so
overpower pitch. Just one. What just about one time get out in front. One I know it. Every hit he had was to the opposite field. Can we one time get ahead of the pitcher, look for the fastball,
think that maybe a fastball is coming? 99% of the pitches are fastballs. How about just once, maybe with a couple of men on base, you guess fastball and you get out in front and you rip it. Just, here's your reward. Didn't work. Yeah, it did not work.
You're telling him you want him to hit a foul ball. Wouldn't you want like a double in the left center gap?
And after the foul ball. I want him to be so quick with the bat that just once he'd get, well, it might get out of here. No, just foul. That'd be fine. Here's your reward. I'd wave the dollar bill. Praying that just once he would get out in front of a ball.
And said, I wish you weren't my father because, hey, who had a good game today? Who was big for us? So John Vaughn went 3 for 4. First thing out of his dad's mouth is, could you pull the ball?
Just once. Just once.
I hit a bomb to dead center, Dad.
No.
It only counts if it's to left or a foul ball.
As you get older, yeah, you need to spray it around.
I appreciate it. But at some point, foul ball.
I just want him to be aggressive. I just want him to go up there, get your hacks. Swing like you mean it.
Your kid gets one meatball right down the middle. You want him to pull it 75 feet into the parking lot foul.
You know what he'd do instead? Instead,
he'd get nasty Uncle Charlie, and he sits down because he's looking fastball, and he strikes out.
There were no nasty Uncle Charlies when they were 6 and 7 years old. There was none of it.
You know what else?
And instead of fouling the ball, he'd hit a little meek little foul ball over. He's left-handed. Meek little foul ball over the third. Can we get out in front of it once? I didn't say every time. Just one time. Can we get out in front? Here's your reward. It didn't help.
I'm not going to be much good to you when talking about that. I missed most of the game last night, Tim.
Why?
What happened?
I spent 5 hours, count them, a little more than five, on the phone with my cell phone issues, trying to go from one company to the next. Wound up in Mexico speaking to several people.
An excuse to get back on the phone with Victor.
No, it wasn't Victor.
Flew to Mexico.
No, but I got transferred to Mexico to speak with several different people. And I'd go through this long spiel of what happened to me, what I need to be doing. And they'd get, oh, we'll help you with that. And they would get 30 minutes into the helping process, and then the phone would cut out. And then I'd have to start all over again. I was looking around like I was being punked or something like this. This must be, a gag.
That's the worst. I actually feel badly for you. I really do.
Five hours. I started.
Fernando on the phone?
Was not Fernando. I started at 4:30 and I was done at close to 10 o'clock.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
You had the nerve to want to switch cell phone companies?
It's such a long story that I don't know that the three-hour program we have here would be enough. I started with Sprint. T-Mobile says, we'll buy out your Sprint account. Come to us. We'll buy it out and get you going. And because I have difficulty with my Sprint signal at Busch Stadium and the Dome and Scott Trade, I thought, well, maybe I ought to try T-Mobile. Maybe my phone will work better when I'm at work. So we did that. Got 4 new iPhone 6s for everybody.
Ooh, bragging.
And then T-Mobile tells me, well, because you didn't trade in one of the cell phones at the time of the purchase, we can't buy out your Sprint account. We can't do that because you didn't trade in one of these phones. I said, I've got the phone right here. I'll be happy to trade in. No, you had to do it at the time. Well, why didn't, at the time, you told me I didn't have to do it. Yeah, but I guess whoever told you that was wrong, and now you do have to do it.
Well, that's on them, not you.
No, they say that that's on me.
They made a mistake.
And furthermore, I can't even use my T-Mobile at home. The signal is so bad, most of the calls cut out. I don't have Wi-Fi because my cable is out. My Charter Wi-Fi has been out for 5 days. The repairman's coming today. If this phone rings at any time during the show, I am answering it. Because if I don't answer and tell Charter, yes, come, they are not coming, and I won't have Wi-Fi for another 3 days.
Well, contractually, you're obligated to be here during the WWE recap.
Yeah.
You'll have to.
I'm not going to be much good to you today.
So all this is going on. Meantime, your heart is hurting because you miss Victor, so you have a lot of things.
My heart is missing because I miss The Bachelor and I miss the Cardinals based on these phone calls.
You want
to watch. Now I'm going back to Sprint. I'm canceling T-Mobile. I said I can't take it. I've got no signal.
So you decided that after 5 hours?
No, this is what took 5 hours to do.
Ah!
I said, that's it. I've had it with T-Mobile. T-Mobile, now I'm going to have to pay them $200 to return these iPhones that don't work anyway. The signal is so bad, I can't use them. They're going to charge me $200 to take them back. So now I'm going to go back and reactivate my Sprint account. That took 5 hours.
Over the phone?
Over the phone.
See, my experience is when you go to the store, be it Sprint, AT&T, you get better service.
Done that.
Didn't work?
Went to both Sprint, said, oh, well, you're going to have to handle that on the phone.
I'll say this, AT&T has horrible customer service, right? Horrible. But you go to one of their stores, they're pretty locked down, boom, they help you out and you're on your way.
There's a girl at the T-Mobile in Kirkwood, Sophia, could not be nicer, has tried everything she could possibly try to make this work, but runs into roadblocks when she makes the call to somewhere out in the T-Mobile corporate world, somewhere.
Why don't we, why don't we fix her up with Willie? She seems nice.
I mean, this has been the single one of the single biggest hassles that I've ever dealt with.
Let's not lie to the
listener. I've been fighting it
for
3 weeks.
Let's not lie to the listener, though, but even if you had handled this quickly, you would have watched The Bachelor and not the Cardinals game.
Yeah. Well, I still haven't got this all resolved. I have to go to Sprint today now to report the phones. And then after I report the phones with these old phones that I'd stop using.
Report them or report?
Port. You're porting the phone so that you can keep your old phone number.
Carport.
Then I have to purchase iPhone 6s again, new ones. Then I have to go to T-Mobile and take it in the shorts again to pay them to what they call restock the phones that don't work anyway.
Are you sure you're handling this properly? I'm usually pretty good at handling this kind of business. For a fee, I'll take care of this for you.
Yeah, that's what everybody says. That's what T-Mobile says. Well, for a fee, we'll make all this go away. Well, and the fee keeps getting bigger and bigger.
I represent a company called Jim Hayes Enterprises.
Yep.
We have a track record of never getting over on anybody.
Yep.
And making a hefty profit.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of satisfied customers.
For $500, Jim Hayes Enterprises is going to take care of this whole thing.
Well, there's an upcharge for this one. It'd be $900.
I thought the T-Mobile signal would be better. Finally, they said that they gave me signal enhancers, a new piece of equipment. You put this on the second floor next to a window, and you put this down by your kitchen or your computer room, wherever, and this will enhance. It doesn't work in the least!
Yeah, Jeff.
Hi, I work at T-Mobile. I could help Doug.
How?
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so, Doug, you know the SIM card that's on the side of your iPhone?
No, I don't.
There's a SIM card that you can slide out with a key on the side of the iPhone.
Slide it out for me.
Do it. Do it.
It's wrapped up in an OtterBox. I'm afraid I'm going to break that, and then I won't get the $70
back. Give him a second. Go ahead. The OtterBox comes right off.
Take off the OtterBox. That's right. The OtterBox comes right off.
Nice job, the cat. It's Jimmy's Enterprises.
You take the SIM card.
Doug has shaking old man hands.
Yeah, I noticed that. What's going on with you?
I'm
panicking.
I'm afraid I'm going to... I got charged $60 for the OtterBox. If I chip it, they won't give me a penny back for it.
I'm
canceling my T-Mobile account. It doesn't matter if the SIM card comes out. I am canceling. I've had it. I can't take it anymore.
You can drive a tractor over an OtterBox. Removing it from the phone is not going to chip it.
It might. I am not. Doug. I am canceling T-Mobile. I don't want anything to do with it.
This guy's trying to help you. Listen to him.
It's too late to be helped. It's too late. No. I'm canceling the account. I am not going to damage this OtterBox, or they will charge me another $60 for that.
If you just take the SIM card, then you pull down your pants.
Put him down!
I did not see that one.
I would get 45 minutes into a call with someone who's very helpful. Yes, we can. I'm so sorry you've had this problem. I'll make all this happen. Call done. What? And then I'd call back and I'd tell the person, please take my phone number. If we get cut off, please call me back. Please tell me you'll do this. See, I will do that. No problem. I can do that.
Hold on a second. I noticed that they didn't say yes, but they said
yes,
see.
Because I was speaking to someone from Mexico with a just enough accent that every now and then I wouldn't understand a word. They'd be talking fine. Then they'd say a couple things. I didn't get that. Say it again, please.
And you know what?
Please take my number. Please call me back at the phone. Okay, I will do that. I'd get 35 minutes into the call. We can help you. I'm sorry you've had this problem. We'll take care of everything. And I'd look around like there has to be a hidden camera here. They're doing this just to drive me out of my mind. And it's working. Make it go away.
I love it.
I don't even want a cell phone anymore. I'm just going to open the window and yell to the people I need to communicate with.
You know what makes
How can it be so difficult? How can it take 5 hours on the phone just to get a different cell phone?
Poor Doug.
See where you have the most bars, and wherever you have the most bars, usually that's in the second floor by a window, that's where you put the first signal booster. Then you go downstairs in an area where you frequently use it, that's where you put the second one. Doesn't they say mostly you'll get a 7, an 8, a 9 to show you how good a signal. I get a 1! I get a 1! I have one bar! And one bar only, and it doesn't help, and I can't take it anymore. If anybody needs to contact me, just tap me on the shoulder and talk face to face, because I don't have a cell phone that works.
Spitting all over the console. It's a help situation.
Suck it, Doug.
That's what I've been doing for a long, long time. I didn't get to watch the game.
And that's because you were watching Caitlin and Britt.
I wasn't. Some of the game was off in the distance, but I had the sound down so I could try to hear exactly
who was watching
what this guy from Mexico City was telling me.
Victor.
Yeah, but couldn't you?
Well, I don't think it was Victor.
You have to acknowledge
there was a chance it was.
There was a chance that this was Victor on the other end.
He would have known.
Yeah, but I spoke to 4 or 5 because I kept getting cut off. I'd get cut off 40 minutes in the call. Please take my number. Call me back. No, they wouldn't call me back. I didn't have the sound.
You may step down. I'm
not stepping down, and I'm stepping down at all until this gets resolved.
I think the jury gets the.
You need to have this. You need to have this line reported to Sprint. Just a moment. Let me see if I can do that. See. And then he'd go away. And he'd go away for like 20 minutes. How long does it take to change one phone number from one carrier to the other? How long?
The cat
apparently
had a question
20 minutes. You know, early on in this process, I got up to try to adjust the volume on the TV set, and it killed the phone call. The T-Mobile signal that I have, so weak, it killed the phone call. I was probably 30 minutes into that call. I got up to move around, and just that and that alone caused the phone to hang up, and I had to start over again.
Were you drinking?
I was not drinking.
All right, so let me understand this. So you touched the volume on your TV, which was way off
in
the distance.
Didn't even get there. I was on my way. I didn't even get there. So I just got up from where I was.
It wasn't turning the volume down.
I would have intended to turn the volume up to listen to it, but I didn't even get to the phone, which was a mere 15 feet away from where I sat. But simply because I moved my head a little bit, the signal was gone. It was gone.
Earlier, it was the turning of the volume down that cut it off. I think we get the picture. I think the jury understands exactly what's going on. You may step down.
I even have the signal enhancer. Nope, I got a 1. I got a 1 instead of an 8. I'm supposed to get an 8 or a 9. I got a 1. My phone is ringing. I have to accept this.
All right. It's fine, baby. Jason Cole of Bleacher Report is going to join us along with Helen St. James of the Detroit Free Press. Jason Cole on the NFL owners' meetings is going to be with us on the appliance discounter phone lines along with our GFI Digital, Rico, email.
My phone cut out.
Oh, no.
Charter and my phone cut out. I'm here. I want you to come to the house. My phone cut out.
Seriously.
On the most important phone call of my life.
He needs help.
I needed 10 points out of Adrian Peterson. 10 points is all I needed. And Bridgewater won't give him the football. Teddy Bridgewater's running around like a chicken with his head cut off, looking for receivers, can't find nothing, and he will not hand the ball to Adrian Peterson. I'm on two teams. I had the first overall pick. I took Peterson and won. I had the second overall pick, and the other took Peterson there. I got the best player in the league. I'm looking pretty sweet. Hand him the football. He had 3 carries in the first half. 3. Bridgewater can't find nobody open, and they will not give the best running back in the league the football. Line him up. Line him up in the wing T formation. Put him in the wishbone. Put him in the lonely eye formation. Just give him the ball. Let him run up the middle. Hey, diddle, diddle, right up the middle. Let him run off tackle, off the guard. Let him run outside, inside. Give him the pigskin. Let him tote the rock. If I have to get up there in the press box and put on a headset and make the calls my own self, by God, I will do that. If I had to put on my old leather helmet,
helmet, without a face mask, and get up under the center of myself and turn and rear and hand the ball to Peterson, that's exactly what I will do. He had 10 carries for 31 yards. I needed 10 points. I got 5, and I lost the game. So, no, I'm not going to be much good to you today. This is how the season starts. Are they not going to give him the rock? You got the best player in the game. You scored 3 points against the San Francisco 49ers, who can't keep a defensive lineman out of jail. Handing the ball, there's got to be an opening over there somewhere. A parole officer just took 2 of them off the field. Give the ball to Peterson and let him run. 10 points is all I need. I got 5. How am I going to make it through 16 weeks?
Hell, they's on scholarship, too.
Well, I don't care. I don't care. You can do better than 3 carries and a half. I know he's rusty. Hell, he ought to be rested. He hadn't played in a year. Give him the football. Give it to him often.
And because of that, the Seaman won.
Yes, they did. By 5.
No, wait. So I'm a little confused by what happened. And I'm not one to poke at the seams, no, right?
Absolutely not.
So you're telling me that they gave Adrian Peterson ample opportunity.
They didn't give it to him. They only threw to him a handful of time. Throw in the football. What are you waiting for? What other weapons you got over there? You got nothing.
It's like you morphed into a Southern coach a little bit.
There is a dialect there I'm noticing.
They want to give the ball to Jerick McKinnon? Who? Have you ever heard of Jerick McKinnon? You got Peterson back there. Line him up in the split T and hand him the rock.
You're going to grab your leather helmet?
And get up on a set of my own self.
It was good to see Jerick McKinnon and Matt Asiata get some carries.
Why? My question is, damn it, why? I didn't need a lot of carries. I didn't need 25 carries. 15, 16 carries. Touches. I like to talk in terms of touches. This is my bell cow halfback. Nice. He needs to have 25 touches.
What's a bell cow?
I don't know. Okay, you guys go ahead with the show. I'm just afraid I'm not going to be much good to you today. Going to be a rough year. He was my first, my big pick in both teams. I lost both games, of course. I didn't even come close.
I just needed 10 points.
10 points to beat Tim.
You got 5?
Yeah.
Teddy Bridgewater's on the appliances kind of phone lines.
Teddy, is that you?
Yeah, I'm here, Doug.
Give the ball to Peterson. When did you think you suddenly became Aaron Rodgers? You can't throw, you can't carry a club with your arm. Hand the ball to AP.
Hey,
something
about it, though. Let's have a serious discussion here.
All right.
Listen. Couldn't hand the ball to Peterson, so too busy handling your ball.
Put him down! Put him down! That wasn't Bridgewater at all!
I thought it was. That was a nice get for us. The Seamaster's omnipotent.
Teddy Bridgewater, you've been suspended. A period of 2 days' time for the call and another 10 days' time for your performance last night. Bridgewater has been suspended a period of 12 days' time, and his name just went into the... 12 days' time. His name just went into the Llewellyn's Pub suspension logule.
Doug, I don't know about grabbing a leather helmet, but you can grab my purple helmet?
Sometimes you can get one, Tim, and it gets them.
He's very vulnerable right now. If you want to harass Doug, this would be the best time.
You're listening to Swope's Picks on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
We're pleased now to be joined by Doug Vaughn. Doug, what's up?
Oh, not much. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing very well. So we're talking your famous rants, including...
Oh.
Remember the DMV and the tags and also...
Oh, yeah.
And also... You know, you had that T-Mobile, Charter was down at the same time, and then Charter called.
That was a real nightmare. The rants are just things that have happened to me, and then once I get started talking and complaining about it, I just kind of keep going. And most of them aren't exaggerated very much, maybe a little bit, but not very much. And, you know, if something kind of gets under your craw a little bit and you get angry, it's kind of a nice release to be able to go on the radio and just kind of let it all out. I'm not a kind of guy that yells and screams a lot normally, hardly ever, if ever. So if I have a chance on the radio just to kind of let it go and just blast something or somebody or just show frustration in something that's happened in my personal life, it's kind of it's kind of therapeutic for me.
Like
it kind of feels good to let it all out.
Like Adrian Peterson not getting enough touches.
Right. I had a fantasy football win all but wrapped up. And here's Peterson just sitting there and the Vikings wouldn't use him. So, you know, most people, if that happens to them on their fantasy team, they just kind of have to deal with that frustration. But at least I have an outlet to go on and cry and whine about it in front of a few thousand people.
Well,
it feels good. You should try it.
There is something very therapeutic about listening to, you know, a grown man, you know, go off the rails over his fantasy team. I mean, it's, you've heard the famous Lee Elia, expletive laden 1983 locker room rant. I guess he's lashing out at the media, kind of sticking up for his players. But I know that one was one. I mean, it surfaced on the internet, you know, probably 15 years ago. But it's like you come home from like a day of work. You might just hate your job. You might hate, you know, you just have a really crappy day. And then you listen to that and you just feel like, oh, I feel better now. I just listened to a grown man completely lose it and over something that's really not that big of a deal. And all of a sudden, you just feel better about your day. So I would say you are helping people. You might not realize it.
Who you think? No, I thought it was designed just to help me.
Well, I know it's,
you know, it's all of everything's about me. So, if it helps other people, I guess that's okay. But the important thing, of course, is that it helps me.
Well,
I need to get it out of my system.
I think it's
just a rant in general helps me get something out of my system. And it's never anything very important, really. If it was very important, then I would be embarrassed to share my real problems with the world.
Well, you dropped,
so it's got to be something that
drop an air conditioner out of a window. You dropped an air conditioner out of a window. I mean, you didn't have.
Oh yeah, I sure did.
That was important.
No, that was just a little window air conditioning. You know, we do actually have central air conditioning in my house. This was just a second-story window that's always hot,
and we had
a little window air conditioner in there just to kind of help. You know, John Vaughn, he's a little doughy, and so he gets a little hot at times, so we had that in his room.
Yeah.
And I did drop that out of the, but nobody was killed or anything or even hurt, so I felt like I could rant about that as well.
Was the air conditioner like covered by warranty? Did you try and send it in for like a return?
No. No, it was in 1,000 pieces. Now, if it had landed on somebody's head or a pet or something down below, then I couldn't have really gone on a rant. That would have been far too embarrassing. But if it's just something stupid that I've done, and, you know, that happens quite a bit, then I don't feel so bad about ranting about it.
Well, you're still standing.
No.
You've survived.
Well, barely. Limping. Bent over a lot of the time. Feisty boys is what I have. Three of them. One feistier than the next. Maybe they've kept me young trying to keep control of three of them. I've had to fix a lot of drywall. They've broken a lot of things in this house. The three of them, any one of them could break a concrete cinder block. And they have done just that. And so I've learned a lot of home maintenance repair tips and things like that along the way because of them. But I'm still standing. I'm not sure for how much longer. But hopefully one of them will take care of me when I'm sitting in the corner drooling in a bucket here in another 6 months.
Well, it's good that you've spent so much on their education over the years to, you know, season them.
Yeah, that's a sore subject. Oh, that's a sore subject. I figured out the other day that between the three of them, between public grade school and high school and college, I'm up to over $350,000 in cash I spent on just education.
Yeah.
Just straight out cash. Yeah. Straight out cash, homie. $350,000. I mean, is that not crazy?
And do you feel like you've got ROI on that?
No, they can barely read and write. They're barely literate, all three of them. No, I would just homeschool them if I thought it was going to turn out like this. I mean, can you believe that? $350,000 in cash? I mean, that's absurd.
Yeah.
They're paying $15,000 a year for high school or even more at some of these places. It's just nuts.
Yeah.
And college now, I still got one at Mizzou. He needs a book in college. Oh, that's going to be $580. What for a book? $580. Yeah. That's how
I know.
It's been.
I'm a product of private education, and I can, you know, there's value in it, you know, on some level, but it's overpriced. And it's gotten so out of whack. I mean, just going back to the 90s and the 80s and what it cost in the 80s and 90s and what it costs now, the inflation is pretty staggering. And it's like, just move to a public school district where they have good schools and send your kids there.
Well, you can't do that. It's a St. Louis status thing. Well, it's all about, you know, where you went to high school, and maybe my private school is even better than your private school. It's just a status thing, and that's why the price keeps going up. Now, there's a couple of the schools that are geared toward the very smartest kids out there. It makes sense, I guess, to send the brightest of the bright to a school so that they can really be challenged. But for about 80% of the people, they'd have just as good an education at the public schools that are getting into private. I really do believe that. But there's so much status involved in this town. I've not seen it anywhere else. But in St. Louis, there is certainly so much status involved in where you go to school that parents are willing to shell out just crazy money to go to middle school or high school. I don't get it. And yet I fell into the trap.
I think that might be like a baby boomer thing. I think the millennials might evolve past that and just send their kids to public schools. And it might be a shrinking pool of rich kids who go to the private schools, but we'll see.
There may have to. They may not have the money. At the rate it's going, you know, 20 years from now, by the time your kids are ready to go to high school, it might cost 40 grand to send them to St. Louis U High or Viani or to spend 40,000. You going to do that? It's craziness.
Nope.
You know, unless you're making $1 million a year, it's just stupid.
Even if you are.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's stupid even if you are making $1 million a year.
Yeah. If you are, give that money to a charity or something. You don't need to give that to a high school just so you can say, well, I went to such and such a high school. And yet there are literally thousands and thousands of people who do it every year in St. Louis. There seems to be no shortage. There's no slowdown.
All right, Doug. Well, I appreciate you taking the time from your busy schedule to talk to me, and I'm sure I'll see you at the next TMA Live. Sure. You still want the pictures? You still want the nudes of my parents that you requested during your middle of the day?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would like to see those.
Okay.
Well, especially your mother, if you don't mind.
Maybe I will. Maybe I'll have Tony Doe deliver them to you.
Okay, that'd be super.
You're listening to Swope's Picks on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM. And InsideSTL.com.
Swope here, reminding you that all episodes of Swope's Picks are available for download at InsideSTL.com. You can also find Swope's Picks on iTunes in the comedy section under S for Swope.
He's got a job somewhere, doesn't he?
He has a family.
So does he have a job?
I believe so.
To answer Doug's question, I'm an IT consultant who has spent the last 12 years solving problems and providing solutions for people who needed help.
I got my own set of problems.
When you're at a technology roadblock, maybe your computer has crashed, or your printer stopped working, or your Wi-Fi sucks in general.
I don't have Wi-Fi because my cable is out.
Who do you call?
The repairman's coming today. If this phone rings at any time during the show, I am answering it.
And what if they can't help?
They are not coming, and I won't have Wi-Fi for another 3 days.
Then who do you call?
Could not be nicer, has tried everything she could possibly try to make this work, but runs into roadblocks when she makes the call to somewhere.
HQF is your lifeline.
Highest quality fidelity.
We solve problems that you don't have the time or patience to deal with.
I mean, this has been one of the single biggest hassles.
So much of this job boils down to trust.
You had to do it at the time. Well, why didn't, at the time, you told me I didn't have to do it.
Unless you are dealing with technology every day, you're going to have to take someone at their word.
Yeah, but I guess whoever told you that was wrong, and now you do have to do it.
I've spent over a decade establishing trust with my clients.
Well, I still haven't got this all resolved.
Producing results, solving problems, and that's what keeps them coming back.
I guess the overriding point is that he's a smart guy.
Swope's one of the best in the business, for my money.
I pride myself on being able to articulate complexities into simple, concise explanations that even a non-technical person can understand.
Oh, I think you need all that bass.
Email swope at hqfstl.com. Once again, I'd like to thank Doug Vaughn for agreeing to appear on this presentation.
Well, get on with it, motherfucker.
Get on with it, motherfucker.
Well, get on with it, motherfucker.
Thank you for listening to Swope's Picks. Enjoy the mashup.
A little tweaking, a little tweaking, a little tweaking.
Tickle his chest a little bit.
No! Yeah. How does that happen?
Another hapless ball sack.
Flapping in the breeze.
Thirst for boy juice.
Taste me.
He'd open his mouth, but nothing came out for a second.
Taste me.
Hold on, wait, don't brag about it!
That's really gay. Really, really gay.
Are they free to fondle Doug if they so choose?
You ever been in a private tracing contest?
Package?
Huh?
You come home and you see, you know, your stepdad there doing laundry, and then one thing leads to another, and boom, you're...
Hit the nipple lever there, Plowsy.
A little tweaking.
Ah! Like, I was cuckolding my dad and my brother.
Oh. MMFs?
Whose nipple?
A lot of stepdad, stepsisters, things like that.
I haven't stuck my finger down in there either.
A little tweaking.
Ah! It's on my hand.
And you do enjoy it.
Gerbils.
Yes, I do.
Ah. Wow.
This is hot, Jack.
No, it's true. Dangerous.
It's true. Yeah. It's damn true.
And affirmed by Nixie.
What if you were invited for an MMF?
Well, if the lady's husband or boyfriend is there too, then I would. But if it's just me and her, no
so
way.
So you want the guy there? That's what you're saying?
Yes.
You do?
Doug, why? I'll do it. Anna Marie, I'll be right back. I'm going to take my tubby.
You were required to go topless.